Okay, so what I'd like to do over the next week and a half, we have this class and then next week in Meretz Hashem, is to focus a little bit on some inyanim from the Haggadah, and just to develop a couple of themes that are core and central to Pesach, hopefully giving us a little bit of a beautiful overview, not just of the Seder, but the truth is of the essence of the Yom Tov as well. So let's begin with number one. We'll just make our way through the Haggadah, and the truth is, we still may get in one Mishnah and Perek Avos related to some of these themes as well, but we'll see how the timing goes. So let's begin. Number one. Halach ma'anya diachalu avasana ba'ared in Mitzrayim. So we'll just use the English translation that is here. This is the bread of affliction that our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt. Kol dichvin yeseh v'yechol, kol ditzrich yeseh v'yifsach. Literally, all who are hungry, let them come and eat. All who are in need, thank you. Let them come and join us for the Pesach. Seder Hashata Hacha, L'shana Baba Ardi Yisrael. This year we are here, next year in Eretz Yisrael. Hashata Avdi, this year we are slaves. L'shana Haba B'nei Chorin. Next year we will be free. Okay, good. So if I were to ask...
Can I interrupt one?
Of course.
I'm so sorry. I don't know if...
Good. So when you look at this particular paragraph, right, looking at this, which of course you're all familiar with, what questions come to mind? Excellent. So first of all, again, perhaps the most famous question asked on Halach Ma'anya, Kol dichvin yeseh v'yechol, kol ditzrich yeseh v'yifsach, ultimately, again, is an invitation, or at least seemingly an invitation, but yet remember again, what have we already done by this point? We already started to say this. What have we done? Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. Senators, we're into this already. So if indeed you're going to invite someone, number one, invite them at the beginning of the city. Good. Along those same lines, build on that question. What else is strange about the invitation? Who are you saying this to?
The people you're
right, so hopefully the people at your table, you invited them to be there, right? Remember, it's not like you're going out by Shvo Chamascha, where you go to the door and we say it outside. It's not like you're going out to your door and looking around, there's anybody on the street, and if there's somebody on the street, you call them in. You're saying this to the people around your table. So excellent. So question number one is, what kind of invitation is this? Excellent, good. What else? What's the connection between inviting people and next? Good, good. Meaning, what's the connection between inviting people, meaning between the middle and the end?
Yeah.
Good, excellent. What else?
Why is it in Aramaic?
Why is it in Aramaic? Excellent, good. The only other part of that God that's in Aramaic is? So I just said it. Chagadya. Right, which is very interesting, because if you think about it, what that tells you is the bookends of the Seder are in Aramaic, which is going to be very important as we go on. Remember, Halach Ma'anya is essentially the first kind of like speaking part of the Seder, leaving aside Kiddush, because remember we did Kaddish, Urchatz, non-speaking, Karpas, non-speaking, there's a bracha, but it's not a speaking part, Yachatz, non-speaking, Halach Ma'anya Aramaic, Chagad Aramaic. Good, hold on to that, good, yes.
And it's not even all in Aramaic, which is language in the middle.
Excellent, which part? L'shana Haba. Excellent. So remember again, there's a little bit of Hebrew sprinkled in there as well. Excellent. Good. What else? So say that once more. Why are we saying?
Next year we will be in Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, so you're saying, you're looking at this like as a declarative statement. Like next year will be in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, so this is very good. Excellent. Hold on to that. Oh, that's interesting. I always looked at it as, hopefully, but the truth is you're right. It really means the Shana Abba Baran Yisrael is a declarative statement. How can we make a declarative statement the next year we're going to be there? Excellent. Good. Any other questions? Yes. Oh, so excellent. About, remember again, that's part, that, excellent point. You know, let's talk about this for 30 seconds. This part, what we got right now, just for a moment. Matzah has this incredible duality to it. On one hand, here it's called Halach Ma'anya, the bread of affliction. Yet if you skip a little bit further in the Seder, and the Sika of Matzah, what's the symbolism of Matzah that's given Agada? Rabbi Gamliel Lomar Koshala Omar Shlosha Dvaram Eilu B'Pesach Lo Yotzi Edecha Vaso. If you didn't say these three things on Pesach, you haven't filled your obligation. Pesach Matzah Umarar. Matzah Al Shumma. What does the Haggadah say? Why do we eat matzah?
What?
Is this your first Pesach? Good. Excellent. Ashon shelo hispek, because there was not enough time for the dough to rise when we left Egypt, which clearly links the consumption of matzah not as the bread of slavery, but just the opposite, the bread of emancipation. Yet here, matzah is referred to as the bread of slavery. Excellent. So we're going to talk about that, probably not today, but we'll discuss a little bit more. Also, this duality of matzah. Good. Any other questions? Yes. No, so that's what I'm saying. There's two parts to matzah. Here it's placing they ate in Egypt. Later on in the Haggadah we say they only ate it when they left. Right? So this is accurate, that's accurate. I'm assuming Halach Mayan is not lying. Yeah, they did. Absolutely. The Ramban says they ate matzah in Egypt. The Egyptians gave them matzah because we know what's one of the qualities of matzah? Satiates and... Has anyone ever observed Pesach here before, right? Right? And it sits in you for a very long time. Right? So if you want to feed a slave population and you do not want to spend a lot of money, remember again, they're not talking about $21 a pound shmura matzahs. That's not what they're talking about, right? They're talking about regular matzah. It's cheap, it's filling, and it stays in the digestive system usually for a while. So the Ramban actually is absolutely, we were fed matzah throughout our entire time of slavery. We don't think about that because the Torah never describes that aspect of matzah. The Torah only introduces us to matzah when Klal Yisrael is leaving Egypt. So excellent. Good. Yes.
Why does it start with the whole idea of matzah and your slaves and then it goes to anyone who's hungry?
Excellent. What's the theme here? Meaning all of this is so random. Look at it. This is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate when they were in Egypt. Whoever's hungry, come and eat. This year we're here, next year... What is the theme? What are you trying to remember again? If you look at the different parts of the Haggadah, look at the different parts of the Seder, everything is thematic. What is the... meaning? Each and every one of these parts is its own message. Okay, there's a matzah piece. Why am I talking about matzah over here now? This is not the matzah section. Invitation, okay, very nice. And anticipatory hope that next year will be somewhere else in a different circumstance. What's the theme? Yes?
I'm sure if they ask this, but why is it in Maggid? It's not a Maggid, but it's not telling us.
Oh, excellent. What is this doing over here? Now remember, again, this is, even if you think about it, before Maggid a little bit. Right? Because remember again, this is even before Manishtana. So, good, excellent. What, essentially, this is the question, which is, what is this? What is it doing here? Why now? What's the theme? Why Aramaic? What's the linkage between all the different pieces of it? Good. So I want to show you two pieces this morning on Halach Ma'anya. The first is from of Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. So if Cook writes as follows. Number two. He writes, Halach ma'anya kol dichven yesev yecho kol disri chashat achagod. Bezras Hashem yisparach, efarish tam, hak doma hazos. So the first thing Rav Kook told us is that what is halach ma'anya? It's a hak doma. So this is incredibly important. Halach ma'anya is an introduction to the Seder. Essentially what's happened over here is we've gotten started. So remember again, I made Kiddush, I washed my hands, I had a little potato or whatever you use for karpas, I broke the middle matzah, but now we need to get the Seder started. Halach Ma'anya is the intro. V'hanira, this is incredible, shetiknuha la'achar ha'chorban. The intro, that Halach Ma'anya wasn't added. It wasn't added. When was it added in? It was added in after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So by the way, now already, even before we go on and explain that, that already answers which question? Aramaic, excellent. Remember again, Aramaic was the vernacular of the Jew in the aftermath of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So Halach Ma'anya was written after the destruction. V'lamalo tiknu kodem chorban nosach malahaskir shezal lechem achlu avosin meretz Yisrael. But I don't understand why not. I mean, Halach Ma'anya is a nice message. Forget about the end part. Now, by the way, the fact that now also it's after the chorban helps me understand the last part of this of Halach Ma'anya. Hashata Hacha. Hacha means where?
In Bavel,
presumably. L'shana Abba Barad Yisrael. Hashata Avdi. This year we're servants to who? whoever the ruler was in Babel, Nebuchadnezzar, whoever it was, the Shana Abba B'nechor, next year we will be free. So now this begins to make sense. But then asks Rav Kook, I don't understand, what does it have to do with the beginning part? Halach ma'anya diachalu avasana ba'arad mitzrayim. So ultimately, again, first of all, I don't understand why it's here, but if it's here, why is that linked to the Churban? In other words, that could have been said even when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. So look what he says. Furthermore, he says, v'hayoser pela, there's another problem. Ki kodim she'ilas manishtana amar halach ma'anya. Vimkein, ma makshe shebachal halilus anu ochlim chametz umatza halo amar mikodem ki kalechem hazeh achlu avoseinu, achlu b'mitzayim, v'lachin yochlum lezecher. So listen to this. What's Rav Kook's second question? He says something amazing. What have we effectively done with halach ma'anya? We've answered the first question. What's the first of the manishtana? Manishtana halayla hazeh mikhal halaylo shebachal halaylos anu ochlim chomitzu matzah halayla hazeh kula matzah. Every other night we eat chomitzu matzah, tonight only matzah. Well, the question is a bit anticlimactic now because we answered it already. How did we answer it? Halach ma'anya diachalu avasana ba'aradim etzrayim. Why do we eat matzah? We eat matzah ultimately again because this is a remembrance to ultimately what our forefathers did in Egypt. So we're already answering the question of halach ma'anya even before anything happened. So if Kook is saying, what's going on over here? Meaning, here is Kashas. All the questions you asked were correct, and if Kook also has those same questions, he's understanding again this was instituted after the Churban, hence the Aramaic. But what's more problematic, says Rav Kook, is first of all, why wasn't the phrase halach ma'anya part of the Haggadah even before the Churban? But number two, the real question being, if we're already saying this, are you not proactively answering Manashtana before it's even asked? Which again leads Rav Kook to ask the same question we were asking, which is, what's going on over here? What is this all about? And look what he writes. Ach, hanira be'ezas Hashem yisbarach. This is so beautiful. Leval yirach levavenu v'na'atziv nafshenu al godal hanefila asher lanu begaloseinu. You know, you have to understand something. You see, we've been in Galus for 2,000 years. But for the Jews who lived through Galus, and for the Jews who last year saw the Beis HaMikdash, and this year living in Babel, it would be easy for them to fall into a pit of Yeush, into a pit of despair, and to realize like all is lost, or to feel like all is lost. How could we ever rebound from this? V'ein anu mekayimim mitzvas karban Pesach, v'gam l'shelo ne'emar lama niskara avdus. That paragraph Gimel, va'nachnu kayom hazeh gam kein avadim, uma nosis bigeulasa mikodem, va'ata nepchalanu hasimcha liyagom. So Rav Kook says, this is amazing. You know, the Jew in the diaspora, and this is really incredible. Rav Kook says, think about this for just a moment. You know, we live in such different times, but you know, historically, Pesach often falls out, usually around the same time of year as the Christian holiday of Easter. Pesach historically was a time of the greatest pogroms and massacres in the Jewish community. Why? Blood libels. Right? The ancient nefarious accusation that Jews used the blood of Christian children to bake their matzos. And how many tens of thousands of Jews throughout the years lost their lives, and probably maybe hundreds of thousands of Jews lost their lives in these terrible and horrific events. Pesach, you see, we often get overwhelmed by the cooking and the cleaning and the this and the that. Those are beautiful things. But Kook is saying, you know, historically, the Jew in Galus said, why should I do this? You want me to celebrate the fact that on Pesach we went free. But I have one simple question, which is, what's the simple question of a diaspora Jew?
I'm not free.
You want me to lean on a pillow and pretend like I'm Malchus? You want me to lean back and drink four cups of wine and everything is great? Everything is not great. In fact, I don't feel like Pesach has done anything for me because I am not free. I am shackled by the reality of my circumstances. I have to live in my difficult conditions. I am stuck in this reality that sometimes is too difficult to even bear. So why should I celebrate something that happened over 3,000 years ago? Good for them. I'm really happy with my great-great-great-great-grandparents that they went free. Right now, I'm not a free man. Right now, I'm enslaved to all the circumstances around me. Al-Ze Amar. So what, how does the Haggadah start? So Chazal amended the Haggadah after the Churban, and they added in, Al-Ze Amar, Kehalach Ma'anya. It says, like this bread of affliction. She'en lanu mizbech lahakriba Pesach, v'halechem ani b'lo mitzvah sa'aretz. So says Rav Kook something so beautiful. Kahalach ma'anya means, you know, we take a look at the matzah, and we say, you know what? We are eating the same bread of affliction that our ancestors ate during 210 years of servitude. We're not the first people to suffer. We're not the first generation to suffer. Our ancestors suffered 210 years in back-breaking servitude in Egypt. Servitude without Eretz Yisrael. Servitude without anything. V'im kol zeh, nigalu. You know, the Jew in Mitzrayim also thought that there would be no salvation. The Jew in Mitzrayim also gave up hope. Remember again, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu comes, they're all excited. But as soon as Paro says, tichbat ha'avon, as soon as Paro says, make the work harder, they give up. They leave Moshe Rabbeinu. They complain against Moshe Rabbeinu. They also despaired of ever being saved. They thought this was the end of the road for them. And yet what? They were wrong. After 210 years of back-breaking barbaric servitude, they were redeemed. V'gam anachnu niskar ha'geula ha'asida. And we have to be mechazik ourselves. We have to reinforce our emuna. We have to believe that there's going to be a geula. And no matter how long it takes, we will wait. Therefore, again, do not refrain from eating your matzah. That matzah, which has this duality, that same matzah, which was the bread of affliction, became the bread of emancipation. That same matzah, which we ate as slaves, that very same wafer became the paradigmatic example of our freedom, the paradigmatic manifestation of our freedom. The bread of servitude became the bread of freedom. Rav Kook says, it happened then, and it will happen for us again. Ach, kol dichven yeseh v'yecho, ubischus zeh, kol ditzrich yeseh v'yifsach. So this is something amazing. Who is the kol dichven yeseh v'yecho? Who is all who are hungry, let them come and eat? Who is that referring to? It's us. Rav Kook says, I'm not inviting anyone from the outside. I'm talking to myself. I am hungry. Hungry for salvation. Hungry for bracha. Hungry for Yad Hashem. Hungry for geula. Hungry for Nisim, hungry for Kibbutz Galios. So Rav Kook says, stay strong. Stay strong. Kol dichven yeseh v'yecho, eat your matzah. And if you eat your matzah, kol ditzrich yeseh v'yifsach, then you will be privileged one day to eat your Karban Pesach. Shutzarech, ve'ein shay, v'mizchus zeh yeh kol ditzrich yeseh v'yifsach, paragraph dalet. Right now we're here in Galus. But you know, had we never left Egypt, we would have disappeared into the sands of time. Va'az azla lanu kol tikva va'avda kol tocholos. U'kvar nishkana memtes shari tuma kimo shekasa mikubalim. Had we not left Egypt, then ultimately again we would have disappeared into the sands of time. So let's bring this, let me tell you a little bit of this outside for just a moment, because this is incredible. Rav Kook says, we're going to say what halach ma'ay is. First of all, again, let's go through this. The Aramaic teaches us what? That it's after the Churban. Chazal added this after the Churban. Why? Because they understood that the Jew, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, would come to the Seder, ready to perform the Seder, and would have one simple reaction, which is, Which is?
Free.
I'm not doing this. This is ridiculous. Look, excuse me, this is ridiculous. Meaning, I'll eat the matzah, because it's daraisa, I'll drink four cups, whatever it is. I'm not going to play a game that I'm free when I'm not free. I'm not free. So says Rav Kook, Chazal had to keep the diaspora Jew at the table. How do you keep the diaspora Jew who has suffered so much from walking away and saying, this is ridiculous. You want to tell me I'm a free man? Do you see the blood libels? Do you see the persecution? Do you see the crusades? Do you see the pogroms? Do you see the Holocaust? Do you see this? Do you see all the stuff that's going on? And you want me to sit here and celebrate the exodus from Egypt? Shkoyach for them. I'm happy that the Jews went free from Egypt. But you know what? That was great. That was wonderful. What does that have to do with me? How do you keep the diaspora Jew at the temple, at the Seder, when he or she is suffering so much? Comes along this little paragraph and says, take a deep breath. Halach ma'anya v'yachalu avosana ba'ara d'mitzrayim. You see that matzah? That matzah is the same bread of affliction that our ancestors ate when they were slaves. And it was that same piece of bread that ultimately, again, turned into the very food of salvation. They also thought their night was never going to end. They also thought their suffering would never end. They also thought that the trials and tribulations would never end. But it did. It did. They were niggled. They were redeemed. Bless you. They were saved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to their rescue. And he transformed the very food that they ate for 210 years as slaves, and he transformed it into the food of emancipation and freedom. You have to have hope. You have to have hope that Gula will come. Stay at the table. Stay at the table. I know right now you're hungry. Not just hungry for food, right? But you're hungry for Gula. You're hungry to go out there. So you're hungry for Mashiach. You're hungry for Nisim. You're hungry for salvation. Stay at the table. Stay at the table. And if you stay at the table, and you bolster your emuna that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save us, then what? Kol ditzrich yesevi yifsach. Ultimately, and you will have the privilege. Tit the Karban Pesach. Hashata hacha. Your circumstances now don't have to remain your circumstances forever. L'shana haba bar Yisrael. Things change. Gula will come. Hashata avdi. Your circumstances now is that you're an eved. But those circumstances could change. So in an incredible insight, Rav Kook explains that the entire point of Halach Ma'anyo was a paragraph of chizuk for the diaspora Jew not to walk away from the table at the Leil HaSeder, not to become so frustrated, overwhelmed, and saddened at his present circumstances that he would say, this is ridiculous, and throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel. Because our ancestors in Egypt were also ready to throw in the towel. In fact, they did throw in the towel in many respects. But yet, despite all of that, they were redeemed. We will be redeemed as well. Geula will come. Next year, the year after, whenever it comes, we'll be waiting for it. But says Rav Kook, this is the entire essence of this paragraph. And by the way, if you think about this, skip to the end of the Seder. What's Chagadya? What's the story of Chagadya? Remember the story? Right, the Zavin Abba Bisra. So what happens? Right, the father buys a kid. Right, a goat. What happens? Good. You're awake at the end of the Seder? Good, right? So remember again, we know the story, right? So the father purchases the goat. The goat is bitten by this one. This one gets eaten by that one. The cat gets eaten by the dog. This one gets eaten by this. The Malach HaMavis kills the Shoch. The Kaddish Baruch Hu kills the Malach HaMavis. You ever wonder, what is that about? What is that about? So we'll study it a little bit, but on a very simple level, what that is at the end of it, that's all the different Golios. That's all the different trials and tribulations of Klal Yisrael. And what happens at the end of Chagadya? HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along. At the beginning of the Seder and at the end of the Seder are two Aramaic paragraphs that were written to give chizuk to the Jew in the diaspora, saying, we know that you might feel, or you might not feel like doing this Seder, because you feel silly celebrating a miracle that occurred 3,000 years ago when your personal circumstances are so overwhelmingly compromised and so overwhelmingly different. So Chazal give us the chizuk. Stay strong. Stay strong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has come through for us in the past, and He will come through for us in the future. The matzah, see why we're bringing up the matzah now? It's not time for matzah till later. Because the matzah itself is the very physical representation of the salvation of God. The very food that was the bread, the food of affliction, turns into the food of salvation. They were saved, and we will be saved. You just have to have the courage to stay at the table and to bolster your emunah. An incredible, incredible, overwhelming insight into Chag, into Halach Ma'anya. The truth is, there are many other commentaries on the Haggadah that echo a similar theme, ultimately, again, to Rav Kook. Others explain, actually, that this theme is actually more Zecher L'Churban, which is actually quite interesting. Rav Asher Weiss, Shlita, in his commentary on the Haggadah, Minchas Asher, says something amazing. He actually focuses on this phrase of Kol Vitzrich Yesei V'Yifsach. What does that mean? Kol Vitzrich Yesei, whoever needs a place to eat Karan Pesach, come to eat Karan Pesach. What does that mean? He says something amazing. He says that when the Beis Hamikdash stood, remember again, how does Karban Pesach work? So Karban Pesach, you have to get a chabura. Remember again, Karban Pesach was not your primary meal. Karban Pesach was necha ala sova, which means you ate a meal, and Karban Pesach was your dessert. So because of that, you also don't want to leave over any Karban Pesach. So what do people do? You would get together a chabura. So let's say you don't have enough of a chabura. You have a small mishpacha, or your mishpacha is out of town, whatever it is. So what would you do? This is actually incredible. Erev Pesach, people would walk through the marketplace in Yerushalayim. And what would they cry out? The Hebrew equivalent of, Kol Ditzrich Yesei V'Yifsach. Does anyone need a Karban Pesach? They would invite people to be part of their Chabura. So Rav Weiss, the Minchas Asher says, this paragraph is actually meant to be Zecher L'Churban. Why? He says, because there's a halacha that we have to remember Yerushalayim, Al Rosh Simchasi, as the Pasuk says. In times of acute joy, you have to remember the Churban. The Sleil HaSeder is a moment of acute joy. Therefore, how do you begin the Seder? Zecher L'Churban. I remember the days when Jews would walk through the marketplaces on Erev Pesach and they would say what? Kol Ditzrich Yesei V'Yifsach. Whoever needs a place to come, Pesach, come and join me. Tonight, I could even invite last-minute company. Remember again, there's no such thing as last-minute company. For the times of the Beis HaMikdash, for the Seder, for the Leil HaSeder, why? Because you have to be part of a Chabura as of when? As of Erev Pesach afternoon. You have to be part of a Chabura, of a group for Karban Pesach, by the time the Karban is shechted. You cannot join the Chabura post-Shechita. The Karban Pesach is shechted when? Shechted when? The afternoon of Erev Pesach, the 14th. There was no such thing as last-minute company, Seder night. So the Minchas Asher says this is Zecher L'Churban. So it's interesting, kind of like two sides of the same coin. The Minchas Asher telling me that on one hand it's Zecher L'Churban, but I think Rav Kook's idea, incredibly powerful. This is a paragraph of Chizuk, diaspora Jew. I know that you are so hurt. I know that you are so broken. I know that you are so incredibly disenfranchised by all the stuff you see going on around you. So were our ancestors in Egypt. But you see that matzah, that food they ate when they were slaves, that became the bread of their freedom. Your food of your slavery will become the food of your freedom as well. Just stay strong. Just continue to believe. Just keep the faith. Amplify the faith. Bolster the faith. Ani mamin be'emuna shalima afa pishis mamin chozeh hachakilo b'choyom shayavo. Just keep on saying it. And Geula will come. Hashata hacha l'shana ba ba'ardi. So hashata avdi l'shana ba b'nei chorin. Halach ma'anya, chagadya, the paragraphs of chizuk, to give that necessary chizuk to the diaspora Jew, that one day, somehow, someway, Geula will come. That's Rav Kook. I'll share with you a different approach, on a little bit of a different theme, by Rabbi Soloveitchik. So Rabbi Soloveitchik says something very interesting. Rabbi Soloveitchik is focused specifically on the Kol Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol. So Rav Kook's approach is much more holistic. He looks at the paragraph in its entirety. Rabbi Soloveitchik is really focused much more on the Kol Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol. So look at number 3, paragraph Aleph. Yesh la'ayin. Lama maschilim es hagada v'halach ma'anya ha'osekis pa'achnasas archim. So Rabbi Soloveitchik is much more intrigued by this idea. Why are we inviting guests now? Hachnasas Archim. He says, "Daha dezeh vaday de mitzvas hachnasas arche mitzvah gidolahi." Aval chora in la inyan lahagada. What does that mean? The mitzvah achnas is arche mitzvah gidoli. Aval chora in la inyan lahagada. What does that mean? It's a great mitzvah, important mitzvah, but what does it have to do with the Haggadah? So this is very important. And really, to take it a step further, which was one of you raised this question before as well, which is, if this was a real invitation, then when should it be made? Before Kiddush. And even if you want to say, okay, somebody can come in and they can catch up, where physically should you be making this invitation? At your door, not at your table. So again, all of this combines, why are we focusing on Achnas HaSarachim over here? And this is incredibly beautiful. V'ayim B'tainis, skip down a little bit, paragraph 8. Rabbi Soloveitchik gives an incredibly beautiful insight, which is relevant not for just for Halach Ma'anya, but relevant for Pesach. V'nira lomar, dihine eved, eino yochol ha'achnis arachim. This is actually quite beautiful. We know that a slave does not have the ability to invite guests. You can't do Achnas HaSarachim as a slave. Why not? The Kaimalan Mashekona Eved Kona Rabo the Ein Le Eved Nechasim Vigamein Lo Bayis. On one simple reason, in order to do Achnas HaSarachim, what do you have? What do you need? A house. And in order to do Achnas HaSarachim, you have to have food. Or in order to do Achnas HaSarachim, you have to own things. If you have no possessions, you cannot be machnis archim. If I don't own things, I can't share them with others. So there's a principle in halacha of mashekana eved kana rabo, which on a very technical level means that if a slave acquires something, the master really acquires it. Right? An eved doesn't have the ability to acquire whatever comes into the eved's hand. The slave's hand ultimately becomes the property of his master. So Rabbi Soloveitchik says something amazing. An eved does not have the ability to perform the mitzvah of hachnas asarchim, of hospitality. V'lachin, maschilim es ha'agada b'achnas asarchim v'omrim, kol dichvin yeseh v'yecho, tezeo derech chirus laharos, she'ein anu avadim ela b'nei chorin, shanu machnisim archim. So Rabbi Soloveitchik, so what's the meaning of our invitation? What does it do? What does it do? It shows that we are free. So interestingly enough, is it a real invitation to people? No. Right? For all the reasons we said before. I said already once the suda started, I'm saying it at my table. So what is it? It's supposed to be a verbal declaration of my freedom. If I wanted to have guests, I could. If I wanted to invite company, I could. Why? 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 Because I am free. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, kol ditzrich yesev yivsach is a statement of my newfound freedom. As a slave, I could not perform achnas asarchim. As a free man, I now have the ability to go out and be machnas asarchim. Good. So it's a statement of my freedom. On a deeper level, what are we to learn from this? On a deeper level, what is this talking about freedom?
Freedom.
I'm sorry? So first of all, freedom through mitzvot. This is an incredible idea, which is, this gets to a very yisodistic, like, core issue, which is, what does it mean to be free? So one thing we know, what does freedom not mean?
Doing whatever you want.
Right? That's abundantly clear. Because remember, again, from the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduces himself to us, he tells us what to do. So clearly, again, freedom does not mean the ability to do what I want. We essentially, remember, we swapped one master for another master. Paro was our master. We said, Paro, you're not our master. We accepted HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our master. So what does freedom mean? So being able to choose, that's number one, right? As a slave, although one can make the argument that even a slave has bechira. Right? Even a slave could choose, I choose not to work. Jews throughout the ages have made the choice not to obey their masters. So what does freedom mean in this context that we're seeing in Halach Ma'anya? If I were to ask you, from Rabbi Soloveitchik's piece, if I were to ask you for a definition of freedom, what does it mean to be free? The ability to give. Excellent. You see, a slave, is occupied primarily with one thing, which is survival. Survival. A slave has to survive. A slave doesn't really have the luxury of looking out for other people. It's just the way that it is. It's all about survival. So Rabbi Soloveitchik is framing it in halachic sense. A slave cannot think about other people because a slave doesn't possess anything. On an emotional level, when someone is enslaved by their circumstances or by incredibly difficult, sometimes it takes all of their energy just to keep their head above water and to survive. They don't have the bandwidth to think about anyone else. The greatest manifestation of freedom is the ability to give to another. What is the definition of chirus? A slave only thinks about himself. A ben chorin has the ability to think about the other. A ben chorin has the ability, a free man has the ability to perform the mitzvah of achnasas arachim. And it's not just the achnasas arachim. It's that a slave is only focused on himself, his survival. A ben chorin has the ability to think about the other. An incredible, you said, you know, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks has a beautiful parish, a beautiful commentary on the Haggadah. And he quotes from Primo Levi. I don't know if anyone ever heard that name. Primo Levi was a survivor of the Holocaust and became an incredible, noted author, speaking about his experience in the Holocaust, and again, developed a lot of psychological constructs based on what he saw in the camps. He was a survivor in Auschwitz. So he describes that when the Nazis, Yimach Shem V'Zichrom, left Auschwitz, so they're like a group of survivors who were just there, like days. This is before the Americans came. I think it was the Americans, not the Russians. Before the Americans came and liberated the camps. So Primo Levi describes, he was a young boy, and they're sitting there in the camp. They're sitting in the infirmary. And they made a fire. There's a group of survivors sitting around the fire. And one of the survivors said, you know, let's put all of our rations, everything we have together, and let's share our bread with each other. So Primo Levi said, he said, that was the first moment when he realized that they were truly free. He said, he quoted him, he writes, because the law of the lager, the law of the camp, was eat your bread and your neighbor's bread if you can as well. I mean, the law of the camp, so to speak, was survive, and survive at any cost. When he saw people sharing with each other, giving of their bread to one another, he said, now I knew that we were free. That's what Halach Ma'ani is telling us. What's freedom? Freedom is the ability to think beyond yourself. An Eved is fully and wholly occupied with his survival and seeing to his needs. A Ben Chorin is able to say, Kol dichvin yeseh v'yechol, Kol ditzrich yeseh v'yefsach. And it's an incredible insight in general into what the Judaic definition of freedom is. Freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want. Freedom is the ability to escape egocentricity. Because people are slaves to all kinds of things. And many of us are slaves to our own selves, to our own wants, to our own egos, to our own needs. Freedom means the ability to transcend yourself and to be able to look out and be sensitive to the needs of the other. So two incredibly different approaches. Rabbi Soloveitchik being hyper-focused, ultimately again on the one phrase, but from Halach Ma'ani extrapolates an incredibly powerful definition of freedom. Freedom meaning the ability to think beyond yourself and to think about and to give to others. Rav Kook understanding the paragraph of Halach Ma'ani in its entirety being a call of chizuk, a source of strength and of chizuk to the diaspora just saying, I know that things are difficult. They were difficult back in Egypt as well, and yet God saved the day. Stay strong, and Geula will come. All right, I'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emir HaZeshem with Haggadah and Emir HaZeshem on Monday as well.